Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We definitely grew up in the knowledge is power generation.
Like, oh, yeah,
all
yeah,
you
yeah,
need
yeah.
is an education.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I was like, nah.
Nah, that scam ran a train on me, dog. I was, they had me bent over with that shit. I was like, school, that is freedom. Yes.
No, I think around 10th grade, I kind of looked at the way shit was lining up, and I was like, I say for me, man. I don't think it's... There it is. There it is. Welcome to a brand new episode of My Mama Told Me,
the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories.
And we work to prove that Orrin Juice Jones and Orenthal James Juice Simpson were not only connected by a nickname, they were in fact members of a secret fraternal order of the Juice, a bunch of niggas who do bad by women.
Wow.
I'm David Moore.
Wow, I'm like Zen Cartman, and I'm stunned. So you're saying that this is like an Illuminati of OJs?
Of ain't shit. Well, because you remember the Orrin Juice Jones song.
Sure.
Don't touch that coat!
For those of us that don't remember, Orrin Juice Jones had a song, I Saw You Walking in the Rain, that has a maybe 5-minute non-musical monologue where it's just
truly the breakdown is longer than the song.
It's just cussing her out for not cheating on him better.
Yeah, he said I saw it. He was like, I missed you. I missed you so much. I followed you today, crazy. and then he saw it with the dude. And he was like, at first I got angry. I wanted to pull out the jammy and flat blast both of you.
Yeah,
but then I decided to chill. I didn't want to mess up this $500 Lynx coat.
Yeah.
And then he just like cut up all the charge cards. It was very aggressive in OD. Even when I was a kid, I always listened to the song. I was like, damn, why don't you just break up, bro?
Yeah, no, he was truly going to murder. And he was saying, I'm going to murder you at point blank range because the blood is going to splatter onto my coat.
Yeah, yeah, my Lynx coat. It's a very dark breakdown. He says, at one point he says, you without me is like cornflakes without the milk.
Squirrel without the nut, I believe, is in there too.
I think that's in there as well.
I think that's in there. Yeah, he really is reaching for analogies here. We can't talk the OJ shit forever, but I'm not fighting it. The idea that there's a
thank you.
An O.J. Simpson Orange Juice Jones connection. O.J. the Juice Man might even be in there too. It's hard to say.
Hey.
That said, our guest today, I imagine, has a ton of thoughts on the O.J. connection. I can't imagine she'll talk about anything else at this point. After you've introduced it, she's hilarious. She's great. You know her from her work on That Damn Michael Che on HBO Max. You know her from her hilarious sets on Comedy Central. She's so funny. Give it up for our guest, Miss Brittany Carney.
Hello. Thank you for having me. What an honor.
Fuck yeah.
Honor is the word.
Sounds like Orange is Jones. It's like a classic, like, he was intimidated by this woman's success, and it made him feel small.
No, I think she was cheating on him.
She was cheating on him.
He caught him and her walking in the rain. They were holding hands.
With the man.
Here's what I'll say. Nobody's ever going to accuse you of not supporting women, though. I like that you were immediately like, no, that adulterous lady is successful, and he should be so lucky to have her.
Yeah, exactly. It's like she is in her power. She's sort of like not going to back down. Maybe she's been hurt before by men, so she feels pretty unabashed about being adulterous. And like together, they just haven't had any open discussion about boundaries.
Yeah, so Orange Juice Jones, he needs to work on his communication and make peace with the fact that he doesn't know the woman that he's claiming to love.
Yeah, finally someone said it.
I don't know if he even claimed to love. All he claimed is that he was hurt.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sometimes like our pride is hurt, but it's not from love. Yeah. It's like,
can't treat objects like people. Oh, right. Wait. Can't treat people like objects. Excuse me.
I also have no idea who Orange Juice Jones is.
He only had one song.
Yeah, there's no other songs. Imagine like a Jerry Curl shark skin suit, dark skin dude.
Okay,
looks like the devil.
It was the late 80s, and late back 80s. Then back then anybody could make a song.
Orange Juice Jones.
They were giving out record deals left and right. Anybody could get one off.
You could get one in easy.
That's why I don't respect my parents, because they never got a record in. You know what I mean? Like, y'all were around during this era. You never got a record?
Not my mom and dad. You're mad because your parents didn't get signed?
they didn't have to become successful, but you should at least have, like, a radio hit.
Do your parents have bars, Langston?
No, they're awful singers. But so was Orange Juice Jones. That's my point.
Yeah.
It was like a falsetto thing he was doing.
Come on, man.
Huh. Like a crooning.
But like higher than that, like,
yeah,
like car, window,
didn't drive too far.
Yeah,
it's like that. It's like very
Alvin and Chipmunk. I feel like when you go to a record store, like, and there's, you know, how you okay, if you go to a record store, there's like sometimes there's a bin of like clearance ones that are like 80 cents, and like every one of those is like some guy with a Jerry Curl in the late 80s. Like, there's so much people are really putting their.
It's always
no
two names
cares.
And then a made-up name such as Orin Juice Jones.
That's my point. Is Mark McDaddy Kerman should have had a hit too, you know?
Absolutely.
He should have figured out a way to get one off, and he didn't. And that's why we'll never be as close as we could be. No, I'm joking. My dad listens to the podcast. I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, my mom listens to the podcast. I love you, Mom. I think you could have done anything you set your mind to.
Except make a record, apparently. Because
no, she can't sing. She really can't. It's bad. She's got rhythm, but she cannot sing. It's not good.
Well, Brittany, we're excited you're here. We're sorry it started this way. We can't guarantee it'll get better.
Would it revert, Tim?
I'm thankful to be here, and I couldn't imagine any other beginning. So,
great.
Great, fantastic.
You think very little of us, and I respect that quite a bit.
Did you say little or literal?
I said little. I think you're like,
hey, no.
You guys couldn't have started this the right way. So, yeah, no, you're doing great, fellas.
What's the right way?
The right way?
Yeah.
Just introduce her and get to the work that is our show. We do a show about conspiracy theories, and somehow we spent 15 minutes on Orange Juice Jones. I don't know. It feels like there's a more correct entrance.
I like the entrance because it's like it's sort of like I walked into a room and you guys were talking and that's what happened virtually. But I guess by definition. But I'm saying no, like the entrance feels like good and warm and organic.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. Well, we have to get to the inorganic part because you came to us with a conspiracy theory that I got excited about. Bori, I know you got very excited about. It's on its surface a very silly sounding conspiracy theory, and I can't wait to unpack it. You said, my mama told me.
You have to cover your belly button or else.
Right.
Tell us more, please.
Or else, should I give some context, like where
you,
this is
whatever you take us where you want
to
go.
Yeah, or else, okay, you have to cover your belly button during a storm, or else a storm god is gonna come and consume your belly button or your entire like torso. Like it's gonna get in there, take your guts.
He'll untie it and get up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
Pull out some tubes through the opening.
Maybe take a biology class, Lexington.
What's the untying? What's tied there?
You know, how you there's get some in tubes there. Happening around. Yeah.
That's how you get in there.
There's at least three hollow canals
untie
going
it, climb
on
up in there.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the end of a balloon. I think it's a belly
Your
button.
Your belly button does not look like a balloon knot?
It does a little bit, so maybe I'm tripping, but I never imagined tying being part of this. But please, okay, so this god is out here snacking on belly buttons if he sees them during storms.
Yeah, and so this comes from Japan, where my mom grew up, and I grew up, and my mom is half black, and grew up with like her Japanese mom and grandma in the same home. And so she said that as a kid, she was like freaked out by this. And then, yeah. And I think it's like, also like, I feel like the cultural direction that's taken on in Japan is like, if it's storming, make sure your kid is like dressed warmly enough so they don't get a cold. And that is like another thing. I feel like being a child in Japan, I think in Japan, people are really freaked out about getting a cold like all the time. So that's like a part of it. That's like a real life manifestation of the storm god coming
through. I mean I've been to Japan once and I did notice that everywhere you go people are wearing masks, and I think this was back when we were ignorant enough to believe that was like somehow them being like, ew, you're yucky, we don't like you, because that's the American interpretation of the shit. But you find out when you're there that like they're wearing the mask because they're like, I could be sick and I'm not going to hurt anyone else. Like,
wait, you took it personally with the mask?
For years, I think. I was like, this motherfucker thinks he's better than me.
I like the idea that on like a train in Tokyo, as soon as there's like a foreigner, a black person that comes on, like they just put on a mask, which frankly isn't also that surprising. But
yeah, I was about to say, would that blow your mind if you found out that that's where?
No, frankly. But I think they're too polite to actually act on that, you know, visibly.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the storm god or the storm Kamisama is going to come through and like eat your insides up if you don't cover up and protect yourself from getting a cold at night.
Wow. So I have a few questions here, unless you want to jump in, Langston.
No, please.
First question, is that fatal?
Oh.
Can I live with the storm god in my belly and it's just kind of like an unfortunate, like now my farts are bad, like, they're like, oh, don't invite David. He got the storm going.
Oh, I don't. Okay. I didn't hear that as him like eating inside. I think he's like chomping on your middle and then going back up to where he goes.
I think I think it's like a hit him and quit him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's much
bad. Like, oh, wham, bam. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. Like, he comes in.
He gets me with the orange juice Jones.
Yeah, he leaves.
Yes.
He eats your belly button. He leaves a little belly button on the table. But
cuts up all my charge cards and leaves.
Yeah. He goes out for a cigarette. Well, I think that, but I like your interpretation of it. Because where the storm got, actually, I like it. I like the idea of it, like the storm god. Like, part of the problem is, like, if you don't dress warmly at night and it's, like, cold and rainy outside, then you might suffer from this, like, other entity inside of your body, like an inner demon, like the whole
right,
rest of your life.
Right, that's what I was worried about.
I think that the way that I understand it, or at least that my mom talks about it, is, like, or in, like, lore from the land of the rising sun, it's, like, you, the storm god's, like, busy. Like, he's got other belly buttons.
That's a lot of exposed misdrips out here. I get that. I get that. That's selfish of me for thinking he would be my.
Yeah, name. You can't expect Santa to like your house so much he stays for an extra 6 months.
I mean, I never even believed in Santa. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Never once? You never even had like a brief moment where you're like,
Santa, I live in apartments without chimneys. Nobody ever, they may know.
Okay, yeah, actually, I grew up without chimneys, but I remember that as a kid, my belief in Santa was that my parents would write Santa in all caps, and then they would be like, their name, like, mom and dad, they would write in lowercase. And then, like, as a kid, like a little kid, I thought, oh, if you put all caps, that's Santa.
Oh, yeah. I would have thought Santa doesn't respect my parents.
Why?
Because all caps, and then my parents got to be lowercase.
Oh, that's fair.
I was also taught that work went into getting money to buy presents. Pretty
as one should.
Yeah, it was very much like, listen, you better not fucking let anybody borrow that bike.
Yeah, this wasn't just a gift from a nice white man in the sky.
Yeah, no, this
actually set us back quite a bit.
Yeah, I work with crazy people, so you can have that fucking Huffy.
Yeah,
goddamn helmet on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like this storm god is a very important guy up there. Like he's a mover and a shaker.
He's absolutely a mover and a shaker. Like when you see those kinds of gods in like Japanese like spiritual imagery, they're always sort of like on a really swirly cloud. So it is like, yeah, he's kind of moving and shaking up the sky.
I like that.
I also feel like maybe the idea, like not to like diss on your take, David, but I feel like the idea of a god like going in your body and hanging out is also sort of like inherently kind of Western, because it's like individualized. Like Santa is all about, like, even though Santa is like the idea, the lore of Santa is that he's like defying time space, he's like running around, it's still about you and your experience.
You know, I'm curious to know, because you grew up there in Japan, how old were you there
when we moved? I was 14.
14.
Oh, so no, you had to come to American teens.
Yeah, that's
it was rough. Oof.
That's that feels like that feels like a lost Maury tape.
Yeah,
just getting bullied because you had to deal with us after we had like gotten to our worst. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like the middle of ninth grade, so everybody already knew each other, and you know, we're friends, and we had obviously like once since I was little come to. My American family were in Philadelphia and in Annapolis, Maryland. So since I was a baby, we like flew to the, or, like, we'd spend summers like hanging out with my cousins and stuff. But I had never really felt that like connected to, I don't know, other American kids. And then I was kind of like thrown into the school environment.
Wow. Yeah.
Good for you for staying. I would have burnt it down and left. So good for you.
I would have been a piece of shit.
I think I was too shy.
Oh, man.
You know,
I would have quit school. I almost quit school anyways, and I'm from here. So.
I don't think I would have quit school. I don't think I had that kind of courage, but I definitely would have made.
Is
I
it courageous? Been,
I think so. There were too many adults in my life being like, school, brother. Yeah, school's the only thing you can do. It's everything. It'll change everything.
I wasn't a great student, but I was too, like, I think because we moved there when I was like a young teenager, and that I felt sort of lonely, and I was like pretty attached to my parents emotionally. So I like never rebelled, but I wasn't a good student. So I hear you.
Yeah.
So you come here at 14. At this point, are you, what, because you talk about this in terms of Japanese religion, is this the religion that you were raised under? Is this something you believed in, or is it more like lore?
It's lore.
Sure.
And the whole idea, and actually I have a few thoughts about this, because like, okay, So I feel like Japan at large in the modern way is like pretty secular. And, mm-hmm. but there are Buddhist and Shinto, which is like the other big Japanese religion that's like, as opposed to Buddhism, which is connected obviously to like Chinese and Indian versions of Buddhism, Shinto is just Japanese. But it's like at some point in the like family tree of that, for those faith systems, like Shinto broke off and that's Japan. So yeah. the point is that I would say modern Japan is like quite secular. People go to shrines on like New Year's Day or for when there's like special coming of age ceremonies and that kind of thing. Or maybe like if they do a traditional Japanese wedding, there's like a some presence that's like Buddhist or Shinto. But it's not like that many people living in contemporary Japan actually practice those like by faith outside of like, for example, if a, in a grandparent dies, there's like an altar, you know, and then you give offerings. So like my grandma, my great grandma's altar always had like little oranges and like fruit yeah. and stuff that you give. But I grew up, well, my dad grew up in like the AME tradition. And he grew up in like an AME church in Philadelphia. And then
God
my mom,
bless the AME church.
Yeah. yeah. Ruff and Nichols AME church. It's somewhere in Philadelphia. And then my mom grew up like Catholic in Japan because her dad was a Southern black man from Maryland.
So none of this was something you're buying
no.
into. So when you hear it, even as a kid, you're like, this is allegorical. This is just,
Yeah. And yeah. I grew up going to something called Tokyo Union Church. Like as a family, we went to different churches. Oh, and Tokyo Baptist Church, which is like really black for some reason. Like all the black people in Tokyo go to Tokyo Baptist Church. But that was just my dad
Hell
bringing
yeah.
us to these places to like try to... I don't know, like share this with his kids. And
did you feel like you got a sense of that from that though? Like, did you feel like, because like, that feels like a very particularly American black type of thing as opposed to just like,
yeah, I don't know. I think it was like, for me, it was just Sunday. It was like, oh, they have Oreos at the Sunday school.
Mm.
And I had friends that at like, you know, I had like certain friends that were American or like, I think like one of our black friends when I was a kid in Japan like went to the same church. So there was some I think that kind of thing can be more like expats in Japan finding community.
Right.
Yeah, so, I think I haven't wanted to step foot in a church in years, but
right.
I think I would love to go to the Baptist church in Japan. That sounds fucking
they
tight.
Have like gospel Christmas concerts and there would always be like some like Japanese moms like in there.
Yeah, I just think it would be like a like people would be desperate to build community in a way.
That's
that,
what
like,
I was
oh,
thinking.
These are real friends that you'd be making and shit.
So much so that you're not worried about that I smoke a little bit of herb or whatever.
Yeah.
You'll be chill on my sins because I'm black and I'm here. What do you gotta be with me?
Yeah, we're here together.
Right.
Yeah.
when I was in middle school, early high school, like my dad put me in this like eighth grade youth group at Tokyo Union Church, which really was like then kind of an excuse for me and my little friends to like run around the city after. Also, Tokyo Union Church is across the street from a big McDonald's. So as a kid, like it was like cultural, like, you know, these were like treats, like church meant like little like treat like excursions or something. But the point is that so back to your earlier question about like whether I feel connected to that sort of lore, like that superstition, I feel like Japan, although it is secular, still takes those sort of superstitions like quite seriously, especially mm-hmm. in relation to health. So like a big like my mom, my grandma, and then my great grandmother in Japan always like, you know, you like don't drink that much cold water if you're like a woman or like, cause it's about like messes up your like health and fertility and stuff. Like that kind of stuff is really prevalent. I feel like in people, like Japan is like a pretty rationalistic society, but then they really take ideas that are connected to maybe like older Japanese lore seriously.
So you're saying that even on those nights where you were running around Japan with your little friends,
yeah,
creating mischief, your belly button was away.
Oh,
you were tucking that belly button.
That was one other question I had too. Is Japan exposed belly button society that much?
Okay,
like do they got them out like that?
Yeah. They don't. Okay. This is complicated. I have a lot of thoughts about it. And I would say as like a 12, 13 year old, how about this? in the age of Xtina, and, you know, speaking of Ashanti, yeah, who we were discussing earlier, the age of deep low rise, like,
oh yeah,
Britney Spears, this was like prime early aughts. Not only is the belly button out, like in media, I mean, the belly button's out, the hip bones are out, right? Yeah, like low rise jeans.
Thongs riding on top of it.
Thongs, right. Yeah. So of course, I looked up to this as an ideal of beauty, as a young teenager.
You and me both, sister.
Yeah. Right? But the truth is, they really don't, at least in the early 2000s, like, don't have their navels out like that in Japan, because although it is like a big, like, street fashion and like weird modern styles are really popular, it's relatively conservative. So yeah, I think it's like it's more likely that you'd have your like way upper thigh out, or like upskirt, or like, or like, or even like, you know, of course it was the early 2000s. So I feel like walking around trendy neighborhoods, you would see like women in their 20s, like wearing like maybe a low rise mini skirt. You know, that look from the early 2000s, like if you think of Paris Hilton, it's like a thick, chunky white belt with like studs on it.
Oh yeah.
And like a mini skirt. But it's like below the belly button. Yeah. So, and I think to this day, there's even like, with more recent crop top trends, like Kim Kardashian's popular in Japanese style now. And she's also really not, she doesn't have her belly button out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get
not,
what you mean.
Yeah, she's not a button head.
Yeah, so, you were taking the elements. The women used to wear intercontinental championship belts and low-rise jeans for some reason. You're saying that, yes, you would see that, but you're not necessarily going to pair that with like the most overexposed version of like a shirt or whatever it is.
And I really believe this even to this day, because like I'll watch a lot of like Japanese like influencers on YouTube or like skincare people and stuff, just to like, you know, numb my brain watching like YouTube. So yeah, there's a whole idea of like,
you don't have to,
you know what I'm talking about?
I have a Zeus password. I
wait, what's Zeus?
You don't know what Zeus TV is?
No, what's it? I really don't.
No, it's,
I don't know if
it's,
you want
it. Is it sexual?
No, it's worse.
Yes, than, what? There's sex elements.
I guess anything
for sure
could be.
Yeah, sex elements, but I wouldn't even say that sexual implies like that. That's the core of it. And it's more about the worst of humanity sort of like all coalescing in one spot. And whatever they do happens there, be it sex or otherwise.
Okay, so it's like a platform and people can share their stuff.
No. They have television shows. Like, are you familiar with Blueface and Krishan?
No. Okay. No, Blueface, yes.
Oh, bad news. He's not a good man anymore.
Blueface, because I feel like I've heard a reference in a song.
Yeah, he's around.
He's a rapper who has now formed a relationship. It's complicated to even call it a relationship.
It's
started
a relationship.
It started off with him and a lot of women that he was dating all at once and keeping in a house on bunk beds.
Yeah, it was called Blue Girls Club, and it was on his OnlyFans.
So it's like a Grade D Hugh Hefner, like.
Yes, and it for a while was being compared to like R. Kelly shit, where it was like, maybe like a terrible violence. But I think a Hugh Hefner comparison is not dissimilar, frankly.
Well, but imagine if Hugh Hefner had those bunnies like fighting each other.
Yeah.
And they were like maybe under 18.
Yeah. No, they were above age though, I think.
They were above age. Okay. They were more referring to R. Kelly's expertise in kidnapping and holding women.
And they were just in a house with bunk beds eating what looked like Wonder Bread sandwiches. It was not good.
Whoa.
But he like fell in love with one of the girls. Love is complicated.
Yeah. He loves her the best he can.
Yes.
You think you would get more than a Wonder Bread if you're like, wait.
No, they got his face tattooed on their faces.
Oh, so it's like some of these cult.
Yeah, some of these women were fully lost in whatever this was. But one of them in particular, Krishan, became his go-to girlfriend who he fell in love with. And now regularly on Zeus TV, you can see the two of them beating the shit out of each other.
Oh, all because they took the blue pill. And so
there we are.
All right. We have to take a break.
Oh, yes.
I don't know that we solved anything, but we did explain Blueface pretty well to you, I think.
But there's a song that I'm thinking of where somebody shouts out his name. I don't mean to cut into the break.
No, please. Who cares?
There's a song.
I believe you.
Is he featured on a song?
Yeah,
Bust Down Tatiana was.
That's what it is. That's why I've heard the name.
Yeah. Blueface Baby.
Yeah, Blueface
yes,
Baby.
Exactly.
Grab the crotch and you do the dance. Yeah.
You can't see it, but I'm hitting it pretty good.
Yeah, he's killing it right now.
It looks great.
That said, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more Brittany Carney and more My Mama Told Me.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
Welcome back to My Mama Told Me. We are discussing all things belly button, Blueface, and Japan in general.
Yeah.
Was that a good recap?
I think so. I think that gets to the core of everything we're focused on right now.
The core.
Yeah. Brittany, I'm excited because I did a little bit of research and you obviously know a lot more than I do about all of these subjects. And I'd love to run through some of what I found with you and see if any of it clicks or it sounds like complete bullshit.
Okay.
So I was shocked to find out that this god is consuming the belly buttons, that he eats the belly button and the entire abdomen, depending on who you're talking to.
Oh, he eats the whole abdomen? I thought it was like a calamari situation.
No, my like man's biting the middle out.
Damn. So you die.
Yeah, I think that's what's being implied. And specifically, he does it to children, right? This isn't, not, if you're an adult and your belly button's out, you're not getting a visit from Rai Jin, is, I believe, how you say his name. Yeah.
Damn, I didn't think about that either. So I'd be good.
It truly is just scaring the fuck out of kids, being like, a god is going to eat your middle out if you don't put your goddamn belly button away.
And my mom's quote on the phone yesterday was, yeah, I was freaked out by that. This is like, I don't know, 1950s, you know, late 50s, early 60s Japan. But yeah, so there's a lot of other things going on post-war.
Sure.
It's a complicated time.
You had other things you were stressing, and then you found out belly button was on the table, and you're like, oh fuck, this is a lot for a young girl to hold.
So there's a lot to that, because it's like the idea that it's fatal is sort of wild, because it's like only, it's like just a concentrated part of your body, mm-hmm. and it's not like it's your throat, right, or your like brain or something that,
yeah,
you know. But the core, speaking, I feel like in, I don't know, like I feel like in at least Japanese like health superstition or like wellness superstition, there's a lot of focus on the core as like a central part of your body.
Right.
So, and well, the thing I was thinking about, oh, the reason I brought up YouTube, and a second ago we were like talking about like, do people have, even adults, like do they expose their belly buttons,
yeah,
in Japan? There's this expression, like when people in Japanese are talking about clothes, like midriff revealing tops, where they'll say like onaka o dasu, and that means to like, like take out your tummy, like take out your stomach.
Yeah, let me see and, that. Let me see that middle.
Yeah, and that's like a whole way to. Yeah, let me see what you're going on there above the. I feel like the middle is like below ribs.
Yeah, it's like ribs and down.
Above the like nether regions.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like there's like a whole like way that people describe shirts. I feel like adults now show maybe their midriff war with like the rise of like crop top fashion, but there's still a lot of focus on the core, and it's like kind of a thing. It's always like somebody notices it. It's like not casual. On YouTube, Japanese girls who like go to LA for like work or fashion or something will be like, oh, in Los Angeles, I can wear this top, or in New York, I can wear this top, but I don't wear it back in Japan.
Okay.
And I think that comes from childhood, like focus on the core and like keeping the core warm. And like, that's what drives your like center.
Yeah. It sounds like going braless to some extent in America, where it's like,
yeah,
you can see it. And certainly on the coast, people will be chill about it. But you got to know where the fuck you're doing that at. And
yeah, you're not going to see that shit in like Minneapolis.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
But then when I went to Paris, I was like, this is a whole different, it's a whole new
culture.
Oh,
they're like nipples out?
Out. It wasn't even that hot out.
Hey, the French got to get something right, you know?
Yeah, they gotta. I like the French. I'm all for everything they're doing.
Yeah.
Even when I went to Montreal, I felt like there was a lot less bras.
Oh, really? That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I mean, they're pretty French, though, right?
Yeah, quite. Of course, like, totally French, former subjects. Like, yeah, so I think that's, like, interesting that, like, why in France or French-laced regions around the country, like, even, why is there more lax ideas about nipples, or even like, I feel like the other classic thing is, oh, French girls don't shave their armpits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they weren't founded by Puritans looking squashes.
Yeah.
Langston, have you ever had your belly button out in this, any type of,
like, me or Langston?
Langston.
Like just the belly button? Like wearing like a crop top or no, I have not. And
you're not hooping in like one of those half t-shirts from the 80s.
No, and I don't think I ever would. I'd rather,
yeah, me either. I just
I think I'm a take my shirt off kind of dude, or I'm not. But I
you don't want to live in limbo?
No. I don't need this sandwich cut in half. You know what I mean? Just give it a whole bite.
Do you think that'll trend? Like, I know, like, do you think that, like, as part of, like, a masculine fashion trend, do you think, like, in the U.S., guys will wear?
I think in sports it has already.
I think it's going down now. My little brother's 21, and I just saw pictures of him, I'll show you, on his birthday, and I was like, this dude's insane. He was wearing a blouse.
Whoa.
Oh, I mean, he lives in San Francisco, so they let
that shit go. Yeah, San Francisco. Right.
But he was wearing, like, a straight up, like
a blast. Interesting.
I think kids today are doing whatever the fuck they want to do, and a lot of time, Russell Westbrook has his belly button out almost every game now. Like that's how he plays basketball. There's a bunch of dudes in the league that are sort of like same energy when it comes to their fashion.
Oh, you're right.
Oh shit.
Well, that looks great. Yeah, and his belly's out.
Like, he's going nuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He didn't show up to the live show dressed like that. Why?
No, because he knew what timing it was on. Like him and his girlfriend are wearing the same outfit.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
They really the like 70s sleeves. Okay. Damn. Wow. See, exactly. There's like kind of an anarchy, I feel like, too. How old is your younger brother?
20. That was his 21st birthday. Oh, yeah. He's also mad little, though.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I feel like little guys could get away with it more than like.
You got to make a bold choice when you're a little dude.
Yeah, you got to. You're just trying to get.
Oh, for sure.
You're trying to get seen.
Yeah, you can't leave it up to God. You gotta really intervene a little bit to make sure.
He's little and he's light skinned, so I think he very much is in the print. Like, I wouldn't do that for a bunch of reasons. But I don't think you're gonna see a lot of like tall, dark skinned dudes like going that route. We'll be the last ones to get it.
I don't know. I'm telling you, the NFL, it's like them dudes be out like for real, running with their belly buttons out now.
Oh, but that's different. They've been had that, like the half shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, like, right.
But it used to be like you'd wear a bodysuit underneath it or whatever the fuck they had on, t-shirts and shit, and cover that. But now they're like, nah, the half shirt will be my uniform in practice and the game. Like,
well, people were always wearing half shirts underneath because sometimes it's nice to not have, because in high school I would do that. It's nice to have a shirt that just falls below your shoulder pad line, but not like hangs all the way down.
Right.
Oh, you play football?
Yeah. So it's like, okay. It can happen. I'm saying if it caught on for real, and what if it became like if it was really, really in the mainstream, you don't think you would do it still?
I don't think so. No.
I have two thoughts.
Yeah, please.
I have two thoughts. One is like, and also David, like your brother, like he's wearing kind of low rise pants. So it's like if there's a happy trail in the picture, there's some, that's like an, you know what I'm saying? Like people have like different threads of like hair, right?
Yeah.
Like
the
extension. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. Like that throws in this like variety in the mix. And then my other thought is like, if there's a rise in like masculine dudes wearing crop tops, it's also like, does that bring to attention for people like belly button maintenance or not necessarily? Does it depend on the kind of?
I think it's got to, because you got to know about that. It's like you got to get your Q-tip, get your rubbing alcohol. Yeah, yeah. Especially I got a lot of real estate down there. You got to like really be.
I'll say this. Sure. I've never once heard a woman genuinely make fun of a man's belly button in a way where it was like, oh, I'm embarrassed and I can't show this to another person. So I don't believe it'll change anything for men. I think unless it becomes like part of culture where women are like, put that dirty belly button away, you ugly monster. Then
I think
it could
be the new butthole.
I think we'll leave it the way it is till somebody calls it out. You know what I mean?
It's an erogenous zone.
Yeah, I think people are going to start eating button.
I will say that, and I apologize to be the one, bringing this up, but on Twitter, I think it was 2 days ago, a video of a person fucking a lady's belly button was going viral.
Yo, your Twitter is different, though. Is it
Twitter's
viral,
fucked up, baby.
Or was it your weird little corner of the internet?
Hey, viral to me. I threw in a couple views, you know what I mean?
Do you think there's like some kind of lubricant in the mix, like in that context? Like
it's hard to know. I didn't watch it for very long. It was pretty it was much more horrifying than even my description could possibly make it.
Was it a larger lady?
It was a very large lady. That's
oh, right. I can see. I get that. I get it.
All right.
Here's my thing. Going back to this, like storm god. Like there aren't, and well, you know, sure, it's fatal, but it would be an easy way to go because the thing about the belly button is, I don't think that part of your body has like. I'm like feeling mine right now. It's not like very nerve. Is it really nervy? Like there's not that many nerve endings there, so. Mm. It feels like whoever's fucking it, like the pleasure is all about them.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a shared experience for that large person.
No. Unless
who lets that happen.
But I can't speak for them.
I
What was the angle?
That's my curiosity too.
She was laying on her side. He was standing, and then
I don't know why I thought he was on top.
That was what I thought too, and the video corrected it. You know.
Okay.
Were they all naked?
Yes, they were both
completely nude.
Yeah, nude, butt ass naked.
White people? This.
I think so. Again, she's really big, and we're not seeing her face. It looks like white skin, but you know, there could be a twist in there somewhere. And then he refused to show his face because he's a man with pride.
He knows what's
and
happening.
So it's based on his skin tone, it looked like it could be like somewhere in the white to brown range, if that makes sense.
Okay. Right, right, right.
Yeah. But, you know, dicks be darker. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really can't pin a dick to a face.
No.
Well, I think if you get closer to my spectrum, you can. But over there towards the lighter skin guy's spectrum, who knows what's going on?
Yeah, it's a real surprise.
You mean in terms of
color?
Like, color,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You really can't. It's kind of like a wild card.
Yeah.
In terms of color.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Okay, so I did do some research on Raijin.
Okay.
I'd love to run past you. So he's apparently has the ability to bring destructive storms, and he's often depicted with hammers in his hand or a drum, which is how he's said to create that thunder.
Oh, he makes thunders. So he starts the storm because he's hungry for little button.
Well, no, he is often accompanied by his brother, Fujin, who is the god of wind. And they're like up there fighting all the time, and their fighting creates the storm.
Yes. And like one's blue and like one's red. But yeah. One's red. I don't know.
I think Raijin is the red one, and then Fujin is the other.
The wind guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like in my memory, like when I've seen artwork of this stuff, the hammer, they're kind of like brandishing it as they're riding around in a cloud.
Yeah, and they're surrounded by drums sometimes with like a tether between the drums. So it looks like a giant circle of drums around their body and head. And yeah, they just play the shit out them drums and start them storms.
Also, that's funny to me because like, so Fu who, like, there's like another word for wind in Japanese called kaze, but then fu is like the sound you make when you blow out a candle. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I that's kind of interesting. It's probably like an old Japanese, like old Japanese that also relates to the words that people use when they make the sound of wind.
Yeah. I like that. I will say that additionally, so the brothers are up there, they're fighting. Raijin is also apparently like sometimes called Raiden. And that obviously has its connection to Mortal Kombat and why there's a god of thunder named Raiden in Mortal Kombat would make sense, even though Raiden doesn't quite look like this motherfucker.
He's... I don't want to sound racist, but I was hoping this would come back to Mortal Kombat.
Back home, baby. And then people argue, obviously, about the allegory. Apparently, during the rainy season in Japan, it's pretty warm during the days, and then it drops super hard when it rains at night, which is why you're meant to cover your belly button, because the presumption is you're walking around in a hot day, you might have that belly button out, but when it gets cold, that motherfucker better be covered.
And it's like, you know how changes in temperature can mess up with your immune system in theory? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this goes, like, and so then it's like you're more prone to getting a cold, which I goes back to my sense of it, which is like, there's also this like big anxiety in Japan over getting cold.
Right.
And like, there's so many like things about the rainy season in Japan. It's like a cultural moment, if that makes sense. It's called Tsuyu. And then they have all this like stuff like, oh, it's rainy season, so we'll make this food. Or like, it's rainy season, so like, here's how to dress because you want to make sure that you're like regulating your body temperature as you go on, right, on about your day.
It's like a true sort of cultural season, not just a technical one.
Yeah. There is so much stress about getting a cold or like regulating your body temperature. And I feel like, again, there's this idea that a lot of that like heat, well, you know, that heat you store. Okay. So like girls in Japan, I think are taught from when they get their first period to like keep that part of your body really warm, which is like pretty common. You might hear about people using like a heat thing or like a, mm-hmm, what's it called?
Yeah, the heating pads.
Like a hot water. Yeah. But in Japan, there's like so much shit about that. There's like, you can like buy, there's like a garment that's not even just for periods. It's just for like comfort and life. And it's pretty like anyone uses it. It's called Hadamaki, and it means like it's like a cover for your, it's like a I'm trying to think if I have one in my closet. It's like, think about like a fleece band.
It's a snuggie with a band on it.
It's like a rigatoni pasta shape, but it's like just a fuzzy kind of fleece thing. And you can get these at any like convenience store or
we need
like
some of that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For men.
Anyway, totally.
I just, nobody's ever that, like, there's no regulating of our core temperature.
Yeah. Hey, big dog, do you need to be swaddled real quick?
Well, it's just like, you should see,
looking a little chilly.
If it's cold outside, you should see they got to be burning up or way too cold. There's no middle. You know what I mean? Because if you put on long underwear, that shit, it's a sauna down there.
A sauna in multiple places. It's pretty sweaty. I think, so, yeah, like, Right. There's a lot of focus that I don't think that's, like, we don't really have that in the U.S., like, on keeping your middle warm, right? And then also, like, it just, that there's, so that thing exists. I feel like I want to see if my closet, I literally have one, but I have one with a pocket.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so I got it. This I got in Japan, like, probably a few years ago, like, 2018.
Yeah, it's like a 360 like a little, hand towel.
Yeah.
And it's just for your middle. And there's even a pocket for all your needs. Wow. Any snacks you might want for the barrier against, you know, the storm god.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And this is like pretty commonplace and people wear these a lot to bed. So
wait, that's what Japanese pajamas are?
Well, no, but they wear these under them. Like, no, if they,
she's saying you would layer up with your regular pajamas.
Oh, and then you put
a little
that
extra middle.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. And so to your original point, even if this isn't people actively believing that like their belly buttons are in danger from a thunder god, they are prioritizing their middles in a way that sort of seems influenced by Thunder God lore.
Yes. And it feels like that doesn't quite exist here, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Although I would argue that a fair amount of the things that we do are just the lore of a bunch of like pilgrims that came over whenever they did.
Speaking of Puritans, yeah.
Yeah. And so like we just don't call it that because we think we're so far elevated past their bullshit.
But also, yeah. I feel like as far as like in Langston, yeah, you grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in a cold state. As far as like temperature goes, the whole culture I've ever known around it, especially if you work outside, is like just pretend like it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's always like, oh, I ain't cold. I'm not cold.
Yeah.
You got a Carhartt on. Grow up. What else do you need? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't right. cool in Chicago to be like, man, it's so cold. It's cold. I don't feel it. I can't handle it. It's like, nah, it's cold. We all acknowledge it, but we're moving on with our day.
Yeah. Wait, David, did you grow up in Colorado?
Yeah, for a long time.
And sorry, Langston, where are you from? You're from
Chicago. Yeah.
Both of those place. To me, like, it seems like cold culture in Colorado and Illinois. It's like, yeah, it feels like, yeah, you're wearing my image in my head is like shoveling snow outside of a car and you have a very heavy duty sort of fleece on and a hat, but you know, you're kind of bearing the elements, and that's just part of life.
Oh yeah, you're just supposed to function in it.
Yeah, that is the existence.
Or like, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I'm specifically in Chicago. I've gone to Chicago like in the wintertime, and somebody's like, oh, come meet me at this bar. And you walk in the bar, and it's still as cold as it is outside, but people like have their jackets off, and they're pretending like it's like May. How they would, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right,
not acknowledging
right.
the bitter, terrible cold.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of stuff all year round. And there, if I was in LA, I'd be like, I'm not going to leave my house. For what? Why? I have things here.
It's cold right now, and I'm going to go to Target probably wearing these same shorts.
Yeah, but that's like a classic. In my head, like those really cold parts of the country, people like go and live their lives out in shorts and a coat, and they just go. Their errands done.
Yeah, there's no body regulation. Like, especially when I got the few jobs I had where I would be working outside, you'd almost kind of be like, if somebody showed up and they had like gloves on or some shit, you'd always kind of be like,
all right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Diva over here.
Yeah, you got gloves on to work a shovel. Okay.
All right.
Let's go. What do you got that thermos? Cappuccino? All right.
Yeah.
All of this left me still wondering, though, why specifically the belly button? Like, why is this storm god so num 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 for little belly buttons? And I landed on some information that, Brittany, I'd love to hear from you about. Apparently, the belly button specifically is connected to these little pets of sorts that the Raijin has called the Raiju. The Raiju, which are like these, they're these incarnations of lightning that take the form of wolves, snakes, or weasels. And they apparently are this storm god's pets. And during the storms, they are freed as lightning to go to the earth, and where specifically they like to snuggle up is inside of belly buttons. To just chill, I guess, that they'll like go snuggle into a belly button. And then Raijin, looking for his pets, will throw down lightning bolts to wake them up, hence hitting children and burning them up in their belly button. Damn. And then apparently he's like, well, if I cooked it, I'm gonna eat it. I ain't wasting no belly button. So.
Well, that's amazing. And I really didn't know any of that.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah. No, I could I really be completely didn't. Making all of this up. I don't know.
No, but that's so, like, well, it's really funny and thorough, and it's, like, it also feels super Japanese that there's, like, little guys kind of hanging around, like, little cute guys.
Just little foxes like, hiding in your belly buttons.
You know what I mean? Like, little critters. little critters with, like, big eyelashes, like, kind of, and like foxes are big in like Japanese lore. I don't really know why.
I'm it shouldn't have said foxes. It's wolves, it's weasels, and it is snakes. Those are the three that
wolves, weasels, and snakes.
Yeah.
And all of those animals have sort of like, kind of like universally sort of an evil bent.
Yeah, no, they're not the they're not the good guys in the like story. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. That's so funny. And like, okay, so the idea is that they're hanging out. Oh, so they're so Storm God is like, wake up.
Wake up. Wake up, bitch. Come back home.
Wake up. Wake up, bitch. Come out from wherever you are. Yeah. And so, but they're in the belly button. Or they're behind.
No, they're in the belly button. They're snuggled up in there.
But only children.
Yeah, of little children's belly buttons. I guess those are the warmest of the belly buttons.
Maybe because they're small enough.
Yeah, right. They're like, right, cozy. Right. Ooh, they like a tight belly button. So they go down there and they get in that little tight belly button. This is starting to sound criminal. And then
I'll let you tell it.
I'm going to have to tell it to the laws. So I might have to repeat it just to get my words correct. But yeah, they hide in the belly buttons and then he's like, what the fuck? Wake up. And then throws the lightning and then kills the child. But he gets his pets back.
He's got his little guys back. Yeah. Okay. So here's the big question for me right now, or I guess like a conversation point is like innies versus outies.
Whoa.
My presumption is that everybody in every community of humans in the world, there's like a mix. But why does it feel like based on this, that in Japan, there are more innies than outies? I know that's not actually realistic.
I think innies is the more common way.
I was going to say, I think
in general,
right? Because yeah, I think you cut the umbilical cord, you keep it on for the few days, and it naturally falls off. And I think I think it more usually tends to leave an innie than an outie, right? Like outies.
Yeah,
are
like
a lot
what are you?
Rare.
How many? What are your guys' situations? Do you have
innie? I'm a proud innie.
I'm an innie, but one. This is a weird thing that I noticed when I was in Sierra Leone. A lot. You see a lot more outies on people, and sometimes even kind of more pronounced than you would think. And I think it's due to like less people being born in hospitals and stuff.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so that's fascinating.
Like, so it's like there, it's like a lot. Like you'll see an adult man with like a fully like an abbed out torso, and then it's like that. It's like out. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's maybe worse. I think I would respect it more if you didn't have the abs and you just had an outie. But it feels crazy to get abs and not get your outie fixed.
Oh, Olivia's got us. Olivia's got us in the chat. She says most people who have a quote unquote outie fall into one of two categories: either they were born with a tiny umbilical hernia, which is most likely, or had a small infection at the base of the umbilical cord that went unnoticed. This will cause unusual cord tissue called granulation to form.
Granulation.
So I will say that my daughter, when she was born, had like 9 months, 8 to 9 months of an outie. And that what you're referring to of like that tiny hernia is umbilical hernia is the shit, and it's supposed to heal on its own, and then it'll naturally like suck back in. And
so it's a tear in the abdomen wall, or a tear in the wall of the scar tissue, I guess.
I think if it doesn't heal right, or if it isn't managed correctly, then it will form scar tissue on the inside, which makes it stay out instead of sinking back in.
I see. It's quite firm, I feel like. I don't think I've ever really... Right? Like,
I think if it's an adult outie, there's like a firmness to it. Like a baby outie is like a balloon. Like you can push it back in. And
oh, like the top of the head.
Yeah. It's like, it's softer than that. It's like you push it and it's like, you can hear the air go.
You were pushing it?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. And then we talked to my doctor and she was like, please don't push it. Please don't push it. It's not cool to push it. I was like,
let the tissue rest.
I wouldn't push it. That's crazy.
Well, if you got an outie and you got something to say, send us an email about it.
Yeah, if you got an outie button, belly button, and you just want to talk, hit us up, man. We'll talk to you.
My take is that an outie would like prevent, like an outie doesn't feel like a comfortable place for little critters to hang around. Like,
no, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the thing too, right?
So it's a level of defense against the storm god.
Yeah, that's like trying to go to sleep on a workout ball. You don't want to do that.
No, that's impossible.
Yeah. No, you're going to fall off.
Yeah.
But a beanbag chair.
Come on.
So you're not going to hang around, and then there won't be impetus for the storm god to like even come around and wake you up.
So maybe and this might be a great place for us to end. It sounds like having an outy belly button at the very least is the best protection you can have if you're choosing to be one of these storm chasing belly button people.
And there's not enough conversation about that in Japanese medical schools.
So I believe
I'm
it.
Looking to change that.
I think this was pretty good work for us, y'all. I think we did it. I think we did something really special here.
This Brittany,
could you tell the people where they can find you and what cool shit you have going on?
Oh, sure. I post about my shows and updates mostly on my Instagram, which is James_EarlBones. James Earl Bones. And I'm working on, if you're in New York, I'm touring more on the road a little bit, but also if you're in New York, I'm developing a solo show called Kingdom Phylum S that I am performing around the city next at Caveat in the Lower East Side. But in general, I post about tour dates and updates at James_EarlBones.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Bori, you want to tell them where they can get you?
Okay. Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram. I have all my dates up there, locally stuff. March 17th, though, you can come to High Note Comedy in Denver with Brittany Carney. Look at that. Tied it all in together.
Yes.
That next weekend, and that's at High Note Comedy, Skylark Lounge in Denver, Colorado. The next weekend, I'm going to be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, headlining. See that. And then the weekend after that, I believe the weekend of April 1st, I will be at the Dallas Comedy Club doing my thing. You know how much I love Dallas. And that's it.
Hell yeah.
April 8th, I will be in Anchorage, Alaska at the Before You Die Fest. And April 3rd, watch Royal Crackers on Adult Swim and HBO Max. And I'm in every episode, so I'll know if you don't watch them all.
Fuck yeah.
I'll know
Don't miss a moment, because Bori's in that shit. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman on all platforms. I'm probably going to leave Twitter soon because they're getting rid of two-factor authentication for some reason. So, you know.
Oh, no.
People are like constantly trying to break into my Twitter, which makes it seem like I'm doing something, but I'm not. And I constantly am getting notifications of somebody trying to get into the shit.
Damn, your boy Musk really dropped the ball, huh?
Yeah. No, there's chaos over there.
They're
yeah.
getting rid of it, and only the only way you get two-factor authentication is if you pay the money for Twitter Blue, which is like the upgraded. It's paying for a check mark so that you can be verified under Musk reign.
Man, they're gonna have a tough time with that new At Midnight reboot, huh?
Dog, I don't know what they're planning, but I bet it ain't hashtag game.
They're rebooting that show.
Yeah, it's what's replacing James Corden.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that feels like
Brittany. We have a lot to teach you about culture. I think. I think there's a lot you're missing.
Is that culture?
Start with Lil Fade.
Oh yeah, we'll start with the whole Ja Rule tour.
We'll just work backwards from Ja Rule to
I don't
to
think
now.
I knew that he was touring.
A lot of people didn't.
I think Ja Rule's always touring, and you find out when you find out.
He looks good, though. He looks good. Oh, Ashanti
he's
looks
jacked,
good.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they
so
all
cool.
Look, they all look good. Even Mace looks good.
Damn.
Lloyd looks the same.
Come on, man. Say Lloyd look good. Say Lloyd look good. Come
I feel
on,
like
don't
Langston
do that.
Was a big
Wait,
Lloyd
what about
guy.
Charlie Baltimore? Is she still out around?
She wasn't there.
Yeah, Charlie.
Fat Joe looks
like
great.
A moment in time.
Fat Joe looked great. Langston hates Fat Joe because he's fat. I don't
that's
love
not,
it.
That's
he's
not
Husky
true.
Joe. Husky
I didn't,
Joe.
I did not say my actual opinion of Fat
you
Joe.
Were like, you were like, I bet he's stomping around and I'm fat. Fat ass feet, 13 WEYs.
Brittany asked, what size shoe does Fat, or what kind of shoes did Fat Joe have on? And I merely replied, fat ones. And I stand by that statement. I think that's objectively true. And
bro,
if you
he's
disagree
not that fat
with
he's
me,
like a he's like a husky.
You
guy
know
now.
Those feet are still fat. I'm not going to keep debating this with you. If you, the listener, have your opinions on Fat Joe's fat ass feet, you can send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Just keep in mind that Lexi wears a 9.5 slim. So.
And baby, a glass slipper is it looks good on me. Okay, that's it. Bye, bitch.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.